This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. Okay, I didn't broadcast last week because I was doing an international conference in Montreal, up in Canada. So when I'm away like that, Don always takes the show out of the archives. But we're back on again, and I'm going to be here for several weeks in a row with special guests. Before we start, let me give out the toll-free numbers in case anyone does want to call in and ask questions. The toll-free number for the U.S. is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And anybody is listening in Canada, the toll-free number is 888-815-8756. 888-815-8756. But I know when I've talked to many of you when I'm doing conferences and lectures, you've always told me you don't want to call in. You said you'd rather just listen. So when I do get somebody calling in, it's kind of a surprise. Okay, before we get to my guest tonight, I do want to tell everybody about the conference we're putting on next month. This is the one put on by my company, Ozark Mountain Publishing. And we did our first one last year, and it was a great success. So we decided to repeat it this year. And it's called the Transformation Conference. And it's going to be held June 16th and 17th in the Clarion Inn in Fayetteville, Arkansas. June 16th and 17th in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And if anybody wants any information about it, you go on my website. We have a lot there about the speakers and the dates and everything. And we are right now doing a 10,000 mailing list to all the people on our mailing list. We've got a huge mailing list. That's going out right now, so many of you will probably get that in the mail. Our keynote speaker is PMH Atwater, which a lot of you probably know, and I've had her on my show before. She's the world's foremost expert on near-death experiences, and she's more or less written like the Bible on near-death experiences, and she's also written books on the new children, and she's going to be lecturing on both of those subjects. And also, we're going to have another speaker is the real psychic detective, Carol Pate. She's also been on my radio show. This woman has solved at least 500 murder cases a year. She's been called in by the police to work on cases since she's 12 years old. She does about 2 murder cases a day at least. And she's a regular on the Court TV Psychic Detective show. So this is going to be a real treat. And then many of the other authors are the ones that are going to be speaking are the authors that we have published. And my guest tonight is one of these. So that's why tonight and the next several nights, I'm going to be featuring the people who are going to be speaking at the conference. So tonight, I've got Mary Letourney. And you're in Boston, aren't you, Mary?
Yes, I am.
You're up there. Okay. So we're going to be doing the hour with Mary Letourney. And she's an astrologer. And we published her book called Discover the Universe Within You. And she has her own method of doing astrology. So anybody out there who's interested in this, I think you might want to hear some of the ways she's going to be explaining some of these things. But Mary, before we get into that, let's tell everybody about yourself. I always like to start with that part.
Oh, dear.
About yourself and how you got into all of this. Your background. Go ahead.
Well, I always was. I somewhat was interested in astrology, but when I would read the columns in the newspapers or magazines, sometimes they were okay, sometimes they weren't. And finally, I thought this is a lot of junk,
yeah.
And so I discarded it. And then one day I had a real dilemma. I could not make a decision that involved my husband and us, myself, as far as moving. And I would just thought, the thought came to me, call an astrologer. And I did. And, of course, I wouldn't recommend this, but I went to the old pages and I called what was available at that time, which were only about three people.
Yeah.
Years and years ago. And finally I got someone, and he was very intelligent, answered all my questions, and he was a fund of knowledge. I found him very interesting, so I commissioned him to come and do my husband's chart, and I was absolutely spellbound because he, for 1.5 hours, described this man as only I and his mother knew him. So I thought, oh my God, this is something. I've got to learn how to do this. This is just amazing, amazing.
Well,
so
what,
that was the beginning of my journey.
What were you doing at that time? What was your life
at
like?
At that time, I was I had been a teacher for quite a few years, teaching in public school and private school. And then I had family, and I was raising them. And my husband had an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., and we were really in a quandary because we hated to leave our families, and the children would miss the grandparents and the whole thing. So
yeah,
it was quite a bit, but we did go.
What did the astrologer tell you?
Pardon?
The astrologer, what did he tell you?
Well, the interesting thing is that he got so wound up in describing my husband and all that went with it that I never really got to ask him a question.
You never got around to the real reason.
I never got around to it, and so I guess it was destiny that we had to make the decision ourselves, which is really only the best way.
Yeah.
No one should ever guide you to make a decision. It has to come from within, and so we did, and that was the beginning of my great, great love. It's a passion with me, really.
But it was important that you called this man, you know, because...
Well, it was. It was somewhere, you know, when they tell you to listen to that small, still voice within, it's really true. But many times we ignore it or think it's fanciful or whatever when it truly is a deep guidance.
See, that's
so
important.
I guess that's how I began.
To that, or you would never have even gone down that path.
That's right. And I studied for quite a few years, and then I went into business, and that was put aside for a while. But I was talking to my daughter today about that, and I said, why did I stop for about 10, 12 years and work so hard in business?
Yeah.
And she's a wise little old lady, she said to me, well, that's when you really grew. I said, you know, you're right. It took about 25 years to write this book.
Oh.
Because you have to observe, you have to analyze, you have to think. When you do a chart, it's such a valuable piece of information that you want to make sure that you're giving all that you can give to guide the person to understand himself.
So during that time, you were at your hiatus, I guess you would say.
Well, I thought it was, but I guess all this, it never really left me. I did a lot of reading, studying, things like that all the time.
So you were really, like she said, growing at that time.
Yeah, she felt that I had, and I agreed with her, that you can't just study something as it is, because you're studying about life, and life is observation. And appreciation and compassion and understanding and so many other things that go into it. So,
well, I think a lot of people think of astrology as being kind of like math or very systematic and, you know, putting charts together in that way.
Well, it is. It does have a plan. You do follow a plan, and you do have certain steps that are very solid. But then there is this interpretation of the individual that you're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
And you want to be able to grasp the feeling, the emotion, the way that they feel, the way they act, the way they think. And you see the planets and the way they line up and the way they affect each other and the way they affect the human being that's in front of you. And you try to give them a complete as possible picture of where they are at that point in their life, and what they came into the world with, and that they have free will. And that free will is their greatest claim to superiority among all creation, and that they have the destiny of their future in their own hands.
yes, that's when my work, that's what I've found, that Earth is a planet that was created to give the creature on it free will. And there are many other planets in the universe that don't have free will.
So this the sad thing, Dolores, is that people don't really use their free will. They're manipulated, they're abused, they're... people have to think for themselves. They have to really make their own decisions.
Yes.
So it's very important that the subject of astrology be put in its proper place, because it's bandied about in these magazines and newspapers with silly little things, and they have no meaning and no... It has to be an individual effort.
But it does show the popularity of astrology whenever it, even that little bit that they put out, people do read it.
Well, they're looking for answers.
Yeah,
but they don't realize the answers come from within them.
That's true. I do want to say that I met Mary's daughter, very beautiful woman, and she's an opera singer in Brussels.
Yes.
And she came to the INES conference, what we did in February, New Age, International New Age Trade Show. And she was a very delightful person.
Oh, thank
you. And she's back now in Brussels, isn't she?
Yes, yes, she's busy right now. But
she came over special.
My children are my gift.
She came over special to the States just with her mother when she did her first book signing with a new book down in Florida at the INES conference.
Right.
That shows she loves you very much to do that.
I love my children.
But I just wanted to say we did meet her anyway.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, let's, I know I want to get into some of the subjects in the book, but you say on the back jacket it says, discover why your birth date is so important to you.
Oh, yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, at the time you're born, an astrologer will take that time and will calculate according to the place, the altitude, the latitude, the longitude, the time, the to pinpoint where you are astrologically in the heavens at the time you were born. And then they will look at the way the planets are circulating, are moving at that moment that you took your first cry. Hopefully the times are accurate. If they're not, it's probably as close as you'll get. But it gives a picture of your birth chart. And that birth chart is so important because that is going to show you how you react in life. The energies that come from these huge bodies are felt by you in the we call them electromagnetic impulses, and we feel them. And the reason we know this is because if you follow the movement of the planets and how they affect you, and you will feel it on Earth, then you know that there's some very strong connection here. And so we plot the planetary movement, and we see exactly how it is, what will come about.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we want to predict, because astrology was really not meant, in my book, other astrologers may feel differently, but I don't feel it's to predict as much as it's to understand your inner self, your what you came into the world with, your talents, your abilities, your weaknesses, all the things that make up you is shown in a chart. And then as the energies move in different directions at different times, you begin to feel it. You begin to realize that it's telling you a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling you what you were born with, what you've come to do, where you are going in life. It's just a massive metaphysical journey.
But it can predict, though, can't it?
Well, it can predict, but I hate to use the prediction because now you're taking away a person's free will. I'd like to suggest that this is a possibility.
Okay.
And that they are in command. They really, it's their destiny that they are making in this life. There's a plan. When they were born, they had a plan. And I believe that they were part of the plan. As a soul coming into that little body, that little fetus, it was a soul that knew what it wanted to do in this lifetime.
Yes.
And sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's varied with each human being. But it's a great plan, and it's a beautiful plan. Because this is a beautiful planet, but it's a hard planet. Because this is the planet where we learn.
This is the planet where we learn things that you're saying.
Right.
Because I've written the book about Between Death and Life, when you do make this plan, when you come back into the life,
right,
of everything you hope to accomplish.
Right.
Because you get down here and everybody else has their plans, and it is a planet of free will, it's very difficult sometimes to carry out the plan that you came in with.
Right.
And
I say here in my book, that
it is a challenging planet.
Yes.
And we're here to learn lessons, mostly emotions and limitations.
Well, lessons, when you say lessons, everyone shudders.
Yeah.
We're actually here, I'd like to think that we're here to really find compassion and understanding and love.
Yeah.
And the subject of astrology is really a very expansive picture of your life's lessons and the purpose of your destiny.
Uh-huh.
And as we navigate in a deeper understanding of this wonderful subject, we realize, and this is what I try to tell people, that the outcome of any situation, regardless of what is appearing in the chart, the outcome will depend upon your individual awareness and the conscious use of your free will. So if you know you're coming into a very difficult period, rather than to fight it, try to understand it. Try to say, what is it I have to learn from this? What is going on here?
You have to go with the flow rather than fight the flow.
And when a great time comes along, you're going to enjoy it, you're going to know it, you're going to feel it, but don't be selfish about it. Because we're here to share.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I know I have an astrologer friend, and she's always warning me about certain planets, especially Mercury retrograde.
Well, that's quite a lot of people are afraid of Mercury retrograde, and they'll say, don't sign contracts, don't do this, don't buy a car, all these kind of things. I feel, this is my own personal opinion, that whatever sign the Mercury is in, whatever sign, whether it's Pisces or Aries or Sagittarius or whatever, it depends truly on the person's chart and how sensitive they are to those particular vibrations.
Okay.
I can't say bold-faced that all Mercury affects everyone the same. I feel it's a very individualized thing.
Okay.
But there does seem to be a confusion with certain people at certain times when there is Mercury retrograde, because the energy appears to be slowing down.
Uh-huh. Because I've had some bad experiences when it was like that.
Well, maybe because the thought was put in your head.
No, I didn't know it until afterwards.
You didn't know it. Well, then you have to say to yourself, what is it I had to learn from that?
Well, at the end of February, I had to go to the Laughlin UFO conference.
Uh-huh.
And the whole trip was a complete nightmare, waiting a whole day in the airport, trying to get out of the airport. Nothing was right.
Yeah.
Everything was just total confusion and, you know, we couldn't get the buses.
Right.
The whole trip was like that. And I told my daughter, I said, I'll bet you Mercury's in retrograde. And it was. But they said Saturn.
Well, Mercury's retrograde, you have to really think about things very carefully.
Yeah.
And not be so ambitious, because everything gets in your way, whether it's weather or airline traffic or whatever.
But they also... I found out at that time not only Mercury was retrograde, but also Saturn was retrograde.
Wow, yeah, that was really
double
the culprit.
Whammy. So I blame it on that.
That was the culprit.
Why the trip turned out so bad. But
yeah,
we made it back home okay, but it was just like...
Saturn's a very, very interesting planet. Extremely,
it is.
It's a
all
great
right.
teacher. Great teacher.
Let's see. Do you want to talk about some of the signs and what they stand
sure.
to mean or what?
Sure.
I know you teach your classes in this.
Yes.
And you did say that yours is a technique you have developed yourself, isn't
well,
it?
Well, because I'm a teacher, and I try to make it as simple as possible. Okay. When I wrote this book, I try to keep it very, very simple so that people can would be able to understand and realize how in-depth, how beautiful, how great creation is,
uh-huh.
and that we are not just haphazardly thrown into this world, that there's a definite plan and meaning for every human being, every human being.
It helps if you can know a plan. But what is it that makes your technique different than the normal astrology?
Well, I don't think my technique is different. It's just that that's how I see it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Uh-huh.
What I do is break down the signs. The reason, first of all, the signs, the 12 signs
yeah.
of the zodiac, are what is considered an invisible arc in the heavens,
yeah.
usually 8 degrees on either side of the sun. And this is what we chart when we start the chart. We find out where the planets are, and not only where the planets are, but in what signs they are in.
Uh-huh.
Because the signs color the energy of the planet as it affects you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that you understand the signs first. That's the first thing I start with, are the signs. And then I will move into the planets, and then I will move into the interpretation, the degrees and the houses and things of the chart. But the sun sign is a very important.
I think just about everybody probably knows what their sign is.
Well, that's great because it's very important to know what your sun sign is because just as the sun of our little universe is so powerful and so important because we can't live without it,
yeah.
Actually, in this lifetime, your sun sign is just as important to you as the real sun is to the earth plane.
Yes,
because
I can believe that, yeah.
Yes, because it describes a lot of your inner impulses, because that is the way your sun relates. It relates to the sign it was born in, or you were born in. For example, Aries is the first of the signs of the zodiac.
Yeah, I'm an Aries.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
And that's a fire sign.
Yeah, you want to tell a little bit about
oh, I'd love to. The Aries type people are always in perpetual energy and motion. Being a fire sign, they possess that quality of fire. And they can energize and warm any cold shadow of timidity and injustice instantly. They just have that drive, that belief in themselves, that openness. And I like to call them the type of people who are part strength and part aggression, part force and part dynamism, and always pioneering and always positive.
Mm.
And if this sounds like leadership, you're right.
Well, I've always been told that the Aries go in where the angels fear to tread.
That's right, because they're very courageous people. When they believe something, they believe it, and they're going to go, and they're going to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know the horses in the parades, how they put blinders on them?
Yeah.
So they won't be distracted as they go down the street?
Uh-huh.
Well, I like to think of Aries with their natural blinders on. Because they have an idea, and they're one-pointed, one direction, and that's the direction they're going, that's what they're going to do. And they're very, they're really, it's a great vibration because they're pioneers. They have a great initiative. and they're crusaders. I mean, they have all these wonderful characteristics that assist the human race.
Yeah, so now always trying something different anyway.
Right. Now, the ram is the pictograph for this sign.
Yes.
And the pictograph also gives you an understanding of what the Aries vibration is like, because the ram is what? The leader of the flock.
Oh, okay.
And he describes the dominant features of the Aries vibration.
Uh-huh.
So the dominant features of the Aries is leading, directing, pioneering, initiating.
Okay.
You see, that they are definitely leaders in their own way.
Okay.
Very strong. And just as the ram has those huge antlers, you know, of authority giving direction to his group, so is the Aries. They take charge. They inspire others with their energy and their enthusiasm. It's a great vibration, but an Aries-type person has to realize that they can't lead anyone unless they have cooperation. And so sometimes in their drive, in their desire to be fulfilling, they forget that they have to be a little cooperative.
Okay.
So that is the meaning of the Aries, of the ram, the pictograph.
Oh, the pipe.
Now, the key word for Aries is I am.
I am.
And if you listen to people, and I tell everyone this, if you listen to people, they invariably will use their key words constantly for their sun sign.
Okay. That's...
So I would say that you probably use I am a great deal.
Uh-huh. And
because
all of this,
I am is indicative of their fire quality.
Okay. And all of this is in the books about these keywords.
Right, right.
Okay.
All of this
now
is,
the Pisces.
And it goes into it in many ways. So
Pisces is the next one, isn't it?
Pisces, yes.
I've always
Ram is the bull. Taurus is the next one.
Oh, Taurus.
I'm
going all the way around. I've already skipped all the others and went right to Pisces. Yeah, Taurus is the next one. That's
Taurus is the next sign, and this is a very unusual sign because think of the sun. What is the sun during the time of Taurus? It's in April all the way to the end of May, and that's when the beauty of the earth just blossoms.
Yeah.
Whenever it is spring, you know, down under, down in South America, their spring is our winter.
Yeah.
Is our fall. So I'm just talking from our hemisphere up north. And when we have Taurus in April to May, it's just a beautiful time of the year. Everything is beautiful. The forsythia, the everything.
Everything's growing.
And this very much correlates to the Taurus type people because they love beauty. And they function very well on the physical level. They love to grow things. They have, I call them the green thumb people. Anything they touch responds almost magically to their touch. They have a keen eye for beauty, for color, for taste. They love good things. They love to cook. I call them the connoisseurs of the five senses.
Okay.
And they're usually pretty attractive people, but they can be very stubborn. They can be very, very, because the pictograph for the Taurus is the bull.
Yes.
Now, you know, the bull's a gentle animal.
Uh-huh.
You leave him alone, he's very happy. But the minute you agitate him, he will charge you.
Uh-huh. See, my husband was Taurus, so I know where of you speak.
Well, the bull is known for its strength, its tenacity, and its endurance.
Yeah.
It enjoys the simple life. And this is very much the Taurian nature. They're very easygoing, gentle-type people. They live in the everyday world, and they're very earthy. They understand how to live. They understand the value of money. They like to save for a rainy day. They're very practical people. But when they get stubborn, they become impractical. And that's something they have to realize.
I'll try to go through all the signs, so I'm going to try to, let's condense.
Well, let me just tell you the key word for Taurus.
The key word is
I have. These are people that like to have, I don't want to use the word hoard, but they like to put away and save for rainy days.
Yeah, my husband's problem.
Well, I don't know if it was a problem, but that's his nature. But we have to understand a person's nature and appreciate what they're like, and even though they're difficult, try to help them see that.
Mm-hmm.
With a Taurus, that may be a little difficult.
So the Taurus word is I have.
I have, yes.
I have.
And they need to have a lot to be comfortable. They don't like to be, they need that feeling of ownership. They need that feeling of security. They learn, but the great lesson for the Taurian is to learn that the goods of the earth are to be used, not possessed. And everything, even affection, cannot be bought or owned. It has to be possessiveness, but in the light of balanced living.
Okay.
The third sign is Gemini.
Yes.
Now, Taurus is an earth sign. Earth is practical.
Yeah.
When you step on the earth, you feel the earth. It's real. Mm-hmm. Gemini is an air sign. Can you encompass air? Can you hoard it? Can you do anything with it? No, it's free. It's everywhere. And the Gemini is very much like this. It's a very open quality, being an air sign. They got great versatility. They can speak fluently, almost copiously on any subject. Their desire for information is voracious, and they're very versatile, very charming people. But sometimes they can become the jack of all trades, never knowing where to stop and really build.
Okay.
This is the Geminian type nature. And their sun sign are the twins.
Yeah, I was going to say that. They're the twins. That gives them two natures, doesn't it?
Well, it gives them two pathways. You see, a lot of Geminis are kind of charming because they love to chat and talk. And it's very difficult to pin them down. They don't like to make decisions. But it takes them a while, and it's because they're always in a state of comparison. They're always looking at everything, trying to figure it out. They don't like to be put in a box. They don't like to. They want to be free. It's a free ranging vibration. So we need to be patient with them. They have high rates of energy, and their mind is very quick to learn, and it's only by comparing that they learn, they understand, and they grow. So we have to be patient with them. They're very delightful people. They like to talk a lot. They love to joke and laugh. They have very quick minds. And their keyword is, I think. I think this, or I thought that. They're always in the mental area of the human being.
Well, what is their keyword?
Their keyword is, I think.
I think.
I think.
Okay.
And the pictograph, which are the twins, it shows that they are looking at both sides, trying to make choices. This is their duality. They really need comparison. That's how they understand. That's how they learn. That's how they grow. And we have to give them space and allow that to be.
Because they're
delightful people. I mean,
every soul is
a delightful human being. But this is a light vibration. It's not. It doesn't have the strength and determination of the Aries. It doesn't have the solidity and the practicality of the Taurus. But it is great. It's a great mind. It's a great mind vibration.
Okay.
The next sign is Cancer.
Cancer. That's the one I always think is being closed off in its shell.
Pardon?
I always think of Cancer as being closed off in its shell, you know, wanting to be away from people.
Well, not necessarily. The crab is their pictograph.
Yeah.
And if you think about the crab, it's a gentle creature. You approach it and it'll scramble quickly to its little hole in the rocks by the beach. It doesn't want to be disturbed. It's afraid. The Cancer is a very sweet sign. It's a gentle sign. It's an emotional sign. Because their key word is I feel.
I feel.
It's a water sign. All water signs are very psychic, very sensitive to other people's feelings.
That would make sense.
But the Cancer is a homebody. They like to build. They want a nest. They want a home. They want to feel secure and content. And their instincts are very constructive. So they build and they manage, and they're always thinking of the future, always trying to protect their home, their family. Very sweet people, but they fear a lot. They worry a lot. They fear the unknown, and they don't like to venture out sometimes. They want the best for their families.
That's a
very emotional sign.
It's a perfect description of one of my daughter-in-laws, and that describes her perfectly.
Right, but
yeah.
Being gentle souls,
you know,
they must learn to develop an inner strength when fear comes in and panics their senses.
Okay.
You have to help them let go of that. Memories, they never seem to forget. They have great memories. They don't forget a thing.
Uh-huh.
So think of the crab and think of how gentle it is. And remember, that's the sweetest meat of all the sea, is crab meat.
Okay.
And so they have a sweetness about them, a gentleness. And when they feel, oh, my Lord, they feel.
Oh, okay.
They're very constructive.
What's the next one after Cancer, then?
Leo.
The lion.
Now, Leo is a fire sign.
That's the lion.
That's the lion. Now, you know, fire signs are dominant. They're strong.
Okay.
You know, the airy, he's the fearless leader. He's going to go out and take chances. And he knows he's going to be right. And when he isn't, he's got to say, what did I do wrong? Perhaps he didn't have his cooperation. Perhaps he didn't really consider other people, whatever. But the Leo is a little different. The Leo is full of love. He's a love man, a love woman. They're very dramatic. They're very emotional, and they show their emotions openly, usually with emotional hugs or slaps on the back. It's a big vibration. It's a very large vibration for fun, for pleasure. They love unselfishly, and they're passionate abundance. They just love to glow. They love to have fun.
Don't they say that there are a lot of the actors and actresses are Leo?
Oh, yeah. They love the positive light. They love to be in command where they have devotion. They're great organizational ability. They really have a magnanimous nature, and what a beautiful smile they have. But I want to caution people, if you live with a Leo, or you have Leo children, please remember, don't ever embarrass them. Don't ever knock them down, because that is such a terrible thing. They love to shine, and someone dims their light, it's really awful. And, of course, their pride is their Achilles heel. They can't stand to be humiliated. But they will work their heart out for you. You just have to appreciate them. The lion, of course, is the pictograph. And
what is
their
keyword?
Pardon?
What is Leo?
The keyword is I will.
I will.
See how powerful, how strong they are? I will. I will make it easy. You will do it. It's a will factor, driving force.
Okay.
And they have an uncanny ability to organize from nothing to something. Great will. They have great will, great love for life. They love people, but they need to shine. You have to understand that.
Okay.
You have to help them, appreciate them. The next sign is Virgo.
I've got a lot of Virgos in my
family. A lot of Virgos. Well, Virgo is a great vibration. Has to be understood. All these, and I'm asking people who are listening, learn what someone's sun sign is and watch them. Listen to them. Listen to their words. Listen how they identify themselves. Watch how they act, how they think. And you'll realize so much about them. It's just, you have to do your homework. You have to be an investigator. That's my feeling.
So you can tell by the way somebody talks what sign they are if you're really paying attention.
One of the reasons I studied it early on was to understand my children and my husband.
Okay.
And it was very helpful for me. The Virgo type people are very particular and very analytical. They're conscientious, they're thoughtful, but they are very reserved. They are very valued among workers because they're practical and they are always there for you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the spotlight. They prefer to work behind the scenes. Believe it. Isn't it amazing?
Yes, I said I've got a lot of Virgo in my family.
Yeah.
And my daughter that works for me and takes care of all the accounting and the inventory is a Virgo.
Oh, yeah.
Very
and they're very efficient. They're very, very conscientious.
Oh,
a great
yeah.
Great sense of duty. I call them the Mr. and Mrs. Queen of the Zodiac. Because perfection is their goal.
Yes.
Their highest aim and their deepest frustration.
That's why she's good at what she does. She loves
yeah.
numbers and she's very particular.
Right, right. I have one too.
But
they have, even though they have this sensitive, fastidious nature, they worry a lot. And they fret a lot. And I call it the scrub board conscience because they never feel they do the right thing. They always want to do the right thing. And if they don't feel good, they become very insecure. And they can destroy any self-confidence they might have built. So we have to help them, those who live with the Virgos. Remember, if they complain or harp, they're not happy. There's something not right because they're finely tuned people. And they're always balancing between practicalness in life and the constant seeking of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Virgin or the is the pictograph for this picture, for this sign.
Yeah.
And it's the Virgin carrying the golden sheaves of wheat. The Virgin signifies purity, gentleness. And the Virgo type people seek purity in every sense of the word, whether it's food or relationships or ideals. Many of them get married late in life. They're always looking for perfection. They're very fastidious. This is normally what they're like. I have met some Virgos who didn't fit this, but I'm sure there was something in their chart that was working against it.
Yeah.
But they're hardworking with a deep sense of perfection, and it hounds them. They got to do it right. They want to do it right.
I know. She gets upset if she's just a nickel off on her bookkeeping.
Right.
But,
and their keyword is I analyze.
I analyze.
And they don't say I analyze, but they will be analyzing everything they do. But that's the type of mind they have.
That describes her to a T.
Very conscientious. They're beautiful people. Every one of these signs has such a beauty and glow about it. And if you can understand how they think or how they move, it will be so much easier to live a more fruitful life as you give them space
uh-huh.
to be themselves. Because the Virgo people can be, they're very conscious of health. They're very conscious of food. They're very conscious of service to mankind. They always want to do the right thing. As I say here, we all learn much from their ways that hum with the harmony of precision.
Oh, okay.
It's the earth element of caution, practicality, and realism.
Okay, let's move on to the next sign because I'm watching the clock and I think we're okay, but...
Well, we'll move as fast as we can. Lisa.
Okay, because I respect all the details, but we have to stop at a certain time, so that's what I'm watching.
Well, the Libra is an air sign.
Which one?
Libra.
Libra, yeah, that's the balance.
That's the balancer. That's
okay.
The people, and the thing about them, these are people. They love people. They love companionship, gatherings. They love to be around others.
Yeah.
And they do very well in dealing with people. If you find that they vacillate or hesitate, it's because they want to make sure they're being fair. They
yeah.
want to really seek the middle ground. That's why they make excellent lawyers or people in litigating or bargaining or weighing or balancing.
Ah.
They're very, they always are seeking the middle ground of compromise. We can learn a lot from Libras. They're usually very attractive people because this is a Venus rule sign. And they always, well, let me put it this way. I had a sister-in-law who couldn't make up her mind to buy a dining room table. It took her 3 months to decide what table she wanted to buy.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize that she was a Libra until I found out. I said, oh, that explains it. She just wants to make sure she's making the right decision.
Okay. What is the Libra's keyword?
The keyword for the Libra is I balance.
I balance.
Oh, yeah. They want to balance. They want to, in other words, frequently in conversations, you'll see the words, let's cooperate, or that's fair, or I can see both sides. That's how they think. And the scale is the pictograph. So you see they're always weighing and balancing because they feel that they can't live harmoniously with someone unless there's cooperation.
Okay.
Peaceful cooperation.
All right. Well, then let's move
on. It's a beautiful sign, and they're very beautiful, usually beautiful people, but I'll tell you, they are known to have the iron fist and the velvet glove.
Okay.
They're tough.
Well, I think we've got about three more, I believe, or something.
Scorpio? Oh, no, we've got quite a few more.
Ooh, okay.
Scorpio.
I have to stop at just about 5 till. That's what I'm watching the clock.
Well, I'll just
go on.
I just have to get the book and read it. That's all.
Yeah, if we can't get to them all, they're going to have to read the book.
That's
because there is much, much more in the book about all these signs.
Oh, yeah, there is
what
a lot.
What is the next
I do want to talk about the Scorpio. Well, how much more time we got?
About 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay, let me just quickly talk about Scorpio.
Oh,
because
Scorpio's
this is a very misunderstood sign.
Yeah.
Very misunderstood. Scorpio people are very private.
Ah.
They don't like to reveal themselves. They don't like to be notarized. They like to be very quiet. They keep deep within themselves, and they hardly ever show you their feelings. But they feel very deeply, very deeply. And they're just unusual people. They're cool, they're silent, but they're dominant. They don't waste time. They don't talk silly. They just move forward with what I call bold decision and determination. But they're silent. They're always silent for a reason. They don't talk much. If they talk much, they don't reveal much about themselves because they want privacy. Now, you might say, why? Why are they like that? I would like to tell people, if you can't understand a Scorpio, you must understand one thing. They are very, very sensitive. They're very easily hurt. And when they get hurt, it really kills them, and they can't speak. They can't reveal it because silence is their defense.
Oh. Okay.
So when you have a Scorpio, you have to really try to be gentle with them because even though they can be harsh in their own emotions, they hide a lot because they're always watching and very careful. They're very sensitive people. This is a water sign.
Uh-huh.
They're great detectives, and they have a
Don't
great
say
probing.
Scorpios are very much in, like they like, evolved in the occult, metaphysical.
Yes, yes. And still waters run deep. That really shows their hidden emotional fire.
Yeah, they like the hidden part, you know.
Oh, yes. They love to ponder on the mysteries of hidden things and ferret out secrets.
Yeah.
And they're very emotional. They can be volcanic sometimes. But they're actually very physical. They're very magnetic. Sexy is what you'd call.
Yeah.
They're attracted to the opposite sex. And that never, their charisma never fails them. There's no question that they can influence for good or otherwise. They're very strong people. Very misunderstood sign. Very misunderstood.
What is their keyword?
Their keyword is I want.
I want.
Yeah, I want. They want. They can be very extreme. When they want something, they want it immediately. And it's so powerful. It's an undercurrent within them that it's almost hard to control.
Mm.
I write here, with laser beam intensity, these I want people will move into a situation, get to the core of the problem, and then relentlessly pursue it to its conclusion.
Oh.
The intensity of desire pushes all obstacles in their path, like an unrelenting bulldozer plowing through the countryside, because they make wonderful detectives.
Okay.
So it's a very powerful sign because these are healers. They have great healing ability.
Oh, that goes along with the metaphysical part, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. They really are. and there's all kinds of symbols for them, but they go from the scorpion, which is a type of creature that will sting itself to death when it gets so angry,
yeah,
which shows you the power that they have to hurt, to destroy themselves, and it goes all the way to the phoenix bird. And the phoenix bird is burns, and out of the ashes arises the new bird, rebirth.
Uh-huh.
That's the healing, the transformation. Very beautiful sign, very powerful.
Okay.
Okay, now we have the Sagittarius,
well, Mary,
Capricorn, the Aquarius, and the Pisces. We'll have
Mary,
to
I'm going to have to
leave them for another
time. There.
Right.
What I want you to do is let people know how they can contact you if they want to know more.
If they want to know more?
If, can they contact you anyway? Or do you
yes,
have anyone?
Yes, they can contact me. The best thing to do is to, I don't have my website hooked up yet.
Yeah.
But I have a phone number I can give them.
If somebody does want to call and talk
to me, if they want to contact me, I'll give them a phone number.
As long as you're okay with that.
Well, yeah, I think I am.
Okay. Let them know how they can contact you then.
All right. I have the number is 617-990-6999.
Okay. And the name of Mary's book is Discover the Universe Within You. Discover the Universe Within You. And there's a lot more in there because we didn't get to go through all of the signs.
Oh, right.
There's a lot more. And Mary is going to be speaking at our Transformation Conference here in Arkansas. So if you want to come and meet her, I think you're going to be talking to people, too, during the conference, aren't you?
Oh, I will try to.
That, you know, we're going to have a table there so
right.
you can talk to people if they want to find out more.
I'd like to leave with this thought, Dolores.
Go ahead.
Without love, we're like empty drums with no sound. Without love, we are merely lumps of clay with no soul, no divine spark. Without love, we are the silent destroyers of all that breathes. Without love, we have lost the pathway to the depths of emotion.
Mm.
And so what is love? Love is the elusive yet expansive emotion stretching from here to eternity. Love is the comforting completeness of giving and sharing. Love is that generous, enveloping flow of accepting and understanding. Love is the true and best part of each of us, the divine in action. What greater glory, what greater opportunity, what greater gift is there but to love? I love that.
That's very, very beautiful.
Yeah, I wrote that one night, and I don't know why, but it just came out.
Uh-huh. It's very beautiful.
Thank you.
Right, but if anybody's interested more, then they can get Mary's book, Discover the Universe Within You.
Yeah.
And if you want to find out more about the conference or anything, our website is Ozark Mountain Publishing, but it's abbreviated. So it's ozarkmt.com.
Mm-hmm.
www.ozarkmt.com. And we have on there about the speakers at the conference and our 800 number if you want to call and find out about Mary or about anything that's going on with the company. The 800 number is 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045. And Mary, we're going to have to go now because Don will pull the plug on me. Thank you very much for being on the show tonight.
My pleasure. Take
care. Okay, and good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.